if you want to, for our study today, we're continuing this. You can go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And it's really a powerful passage. We've been looking at the whole idea of temptation, and we saw three people basically who have fallen already. We saw Eve who fell, Achan who fell, and David. We're just going to review a little bit on David. You should have two handouts. One says temptation lesson three. We actually finished that. We're at the very, very end. I think, did we do the applications on that? We did, didn't we? Okay, so really what's left is the one dealing with sin. Originally, this was supposed to be, I'm going to say it in a nice way, this was supposed to have been connected with this lesson. For some reason, this did not get put on this lesson. I don't know what happened. So we had to make this up as a little special for you. And so it's dealing with sin, and we'll just review a little bit, and then we'll get into this because I think it's important. Because in temptation, there's sin. When there's sin, or it's not always sin, but a lot of times there's sin, and one of the things that happens is we got to deal with it. Let me start with a prayer, and then we'll get into it. And as always, you have questions, comments, input, you just stop me, and we'll do it. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our class. I just love our class. I love the time that we get to be together. We love the opportunity to study the Word of God and to teach and to talk and to interact and just have a great time. So thank you, Lord, for each one that comes to our class week after week, and we just have a good time. Lord, thank you as we continue to study the whole issue of temptation and sin and those kind of things and how to deal with this. Lord, we want to have victory. We know that that you've left us in a fallen world, and we have the natural bent to sin, but you've also got the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and we want to have victory. We want to live in such a way that you say, well done, good and faithful servant, that when temptations come in our lives, that we can gain the victory. Lord, help us as we look in the Bible, as we see those who didn't do so well, and then also as one who did well, and how we can make application in our lives. Most of all, Lord, we thank you again for our Savior Jesus. He is the one who died for us and paid for sins and rose again, gives us eternal life as a gift. Thank you, Lord, for that great truth. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, here's what we've been going through, this whole idea of temptation. And we said that when there's a temptation, there could be three or four or five things that are going on. But we said that it seems to be a pattern that people see it, they want it, they take it or do it, and then they hide it. We saw it with Eve back in Genesis chapter 3. She saw the fruit, she desired it, she took it, they hid it. That's what happened. We saw with Achan, that was the man that took the stuff when they went in the Battle of Jericho. And he saw the things, he took it, I mean he desired it, he took it, and he hid it. The third one is we've been looking at David, and that's why it's 2 Samuel chapter 11. It's really a terrible passage. When I think of David, to be real honest with you, I don't really think of this passage. You know, we all said that whenever you think of David, you usually think of two things. You think of David and Goliath and David and Bathsheba, right? I mean, that's what you normally think. People always say David's big victory as a young boy killing Goliath and David's big failure with Bathsheba. That's kind of sticks in your minds. When I think of David, because the scripture continues to call him a man after God's own heart, even after this, I always think of David in his victories. And this is not even a fun passage at all. So 2 Samuel chapter 11, we saw that David, and the first thing that he did is he saw. If you remember, David sent his men out to fight. 2 Samuel chapter 11, it was the springtime, and he sent his soldiers out to fight, but he didn't go. And that's really unusual because David was a warrior. Let me ask you a question. What reason did God give to David that he could not build the temple? Anybody know? Because he was a what? Because he was a man of war. He's a warrior. Now, if you're a man of war and a warrior, why are you sitting at home when everybody else is out fighting? Sometimes we do things that are wrong. Sometimes we do things that are contrary to us. I mean, David, we don't know what's going on. But the way the scripture writes it, it says they went out to fight, but David stayed at Jerusalem. Sometimes we look at our lives and we say, you know, if I hadn't have been there, then that wouldn't have happened. If I hadn't made this choice, that wouldn't have happened. You know, a lot of our lives are choices. It is choices. We want to do the right things. Of course, you look at this and you say, well, there's nothing wrong with him not going to fight. He's the king. He doesn't have to fight. But what happened? Remember, he came out on his balcony and he saw a woman that was bathing. No clothes on. He saw her. And that's where we are. He saw her. And what we know probably should have happened is immediately David, the man after God's own heart, when he saw this woman with no clothes on, he should have went, oh, man, I'm going back inside because I probably shouldn't be looking at that, right? That's probably what he... Now, he's the king. And he's the king. And when you get in places of positions of power, what sometimes happens to people when they get positions of power? They think they can do a lot of things. And he may have said, listen, I'm the king. And I can pretty much have what? Any woman I want. And so when he goes out and he sees the woman out there without any clothes on, he sees her. And so the second thing that he did is he wanted her. He desired her. He thought, I want to know who this is. He sent somebody down there to find out who this woman was, because what he wanted to do was to bring her up there. It doesn't? What does it say? Okay, well, most people probably bathe with their clothes off, but I don't know. She's bathing, and most likely she doesn't have any clothes on. Maybe she's taking part off and cleaning herself and then putting other parts back on. Maybe that's what she's doing. I don't know.
Reading the Bible back in those days, women didn't have the openness that they have today.
Well, she's openness because she's outside where he can see her. Let me tell you, women may have less. There's no doubt they're much less openness to then as there's today. But what she is where he can walk out on a balcony and see her. So, and the big question is, did she know he could see her? That's a question that a lot of people never ask, because, you know, all it really says is, evening came, David rose from his bed, walked on the roof of the house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance, so he sent and inquired about the woman. I mean, he sees a woman down there bathing. Should she have even been out there is a question that a lot of people ask. Why was she outside bathing? Did she not know that there are people right up there, David's house especially, could see her? So you're right, there's some discretion on her part that doesn't appear to be what normally a woman of that day may have done.
But maybe there was just a basin.
Okay, you know, he's the king. You know, it may be what he's doing. He may have looked out there and just saw a beautiful woman with a basin of water, you know, and said, that's a good-looking woman with a basin of water. That's okay. Let's take a good. How many of y'all think she didn't have any clothes on? No, I'm just kidding. You don't need to answer. Anyway, he sees this woman down there, and he wants her, right? So he sends somebody down to find out, because he just wants to know who the woman is. What's her name? I want to bring her up here. But the guy comes back and says, who is she? She's the wife of Uriah. She's one of his soldiers. In fact, Uriah the Hittite, he actually knows the man. And what should he have done then? Thank you very much. Thank you for that. But he didn't. Let me ask you something. Does anybody know what David's doing? Anybody know what David's doing? No. I mean, does anybody know what's happening here? Does anybody know that David's looking at this woman and trying to find out about her? Yeah, the people he sent. You know, you can't hide this sort of thing, right? So what happened? Even though he found out who she was, he calls for her. And the third thing is, he took her. He sent a message to her for her to come. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. If the king calls for you, do you go? You know, you may go. If the king calls for you, you may not even know why he's calling for you. Although you might know if you're bathing right where he could see you from his balcony. You might know. I don't know. We're just reading through this, trying to figure it out. And what did he do? He saw, he desired, he took, and then what did he do? He hid. David tried hiding all this. He did it in secret. That's chapter 12, verses 11 and 12 basically talk about that David tried to do all this in secret. But notice the problem, verse 5 of chapter 11. 2 Samuel 11, verse 5. The woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am pregnant. You know, when she left and went back, she purified herself. Basically trying to say, okay, I've offered a little sacrifice. I know what I've done. We know what we did. But that's past. We're going to just forget about this. But she couldn't forget about it because a time passed and she found out that she's pregnant. So she sent word to Joab. So when David finds that out, he's not going to be able to cover this up, is he? Not like he thought. So he's got a plan, and it's a pretty smart plan, really. He's going to send for her husband who's been on the battlefield, send for him to come back, pretend to meet with him, and then send him home to spend the night with his wife. He figures he'll spend the night with his wife, and then when the baby comes, they'll be able to say, yes, it was your baby, because remember when you came home and y'all spent the night, and this is when you got pregnant, and this is your baby. That is the plan. So what happens? He calls for Uriah, and what happens? He calls Uriah and says, how's the battle? And Uriah tells him everything's going fine, and he sends him home. And what does he do? In fact, he sleeps outside the palace because he refused to go home. And the word comes back to David the next day that Uriah did not go home and spend the night with his wife. And David goes, what in the world's going on? So he actually calls him in and says, why wouldn't you do that? And what does Uriah say?
As long as my men can't go, why should I?
Exactly. He said, look, if they're out in the field sleeping out and not being with their family, then why should I get to be with my family? He's a man of honor, isn't he? What a soldier. So David tries to get him drunk. And gets him drunk and sends him home, and he never gets there. So what does David decide to do? Well, it's pretty sad. He sends a note with Uriah himself to Joab. 2 Samuel 11, verse 14. Now in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. He placed in the letter, this is what was written, place Uriah in the front line of the fierce battle and withdraw from him so that he may be struck down and die. Now, what has David done already? Number one, he's committed basically adultery. And now what's the second thing that he's planning to do? Planning to murder somebody. Yeah, that's what he's planning to do. Now, you could say, this is David, y'all. This is David. This is David after a man after God's own heart. This is David is the guy who in the field, he would look up at the stars and say, oh, God, what is man that you're just mindful of him, and you're the greatest of all. And when an animal came to get my sheep, I killed him, and I fought in the name of the Lord. And when I killed Goliath, I killed him in the name of the Lord. And so this is David doing this. What does it tell us about us? What have we been seeing over and over in this whole study of temptation and sin? We are capable of what? Anything. Anything. And we cannot let that go. You cannot let that out of your mind that you are capable of anything. And if you were put in the wrong place at the wrong time, you will do the wrong thing. So be very careful where you allow yourself to go, what you allow yourself to get into, what you allow yourself to do. Well, look what happened. Verse 16, so it was Joab kept watch on the city that he put Uriah at the place where he knew there were valiant men. And the men of the city went out and fought against Joab. Some of the people among David's servants fell, and Uriah the Hittite also died. You know what David thinks now? It's pretty much over, right? Because, see, nobody's going to ever know about this. And now, how's he going to still solve this problem that she's pregnant? What's he going to do? What can you do about this? What? He could marry her. See, if he marries her and then have a baby, they say, oh, wasn't this wonderful? Wasn't this wonderful? Verse 26, now the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead. She mourned for her husband while the time of her mourning was over. David sent and brought her to his house. She became his wife. Then she bore him a son. But, there's a but there. David said, it's over. We're married. We got a son. Everything looks okay. But the thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord. Don't you hate those words? I think on the handout that says dealing with sins, we have seen the pattern. What's the pattern of this whole thing? You see it, you want it. You do it, and you hide it. Is that what you find in your life? Do you find that happening to you? I mean, that we're going through life, and we seem like we're doing pretty good, and then something attracts us, something grabs us, and then we want it. Now, that's the good stopping place right there. That's the temptation, and what should we do? What should we do if we can? What should we do? We got to get out of there. There's no temptation except God will find a way of what? Escape. 1 Corinthians. But then we do it. And then what do we do when we do it? Do any of you, would you like any sin that you did yesterday put up on the screen? Anybody? We don't want any of it. We want it hid, don't we? We don't want anybody to know what we did. God knows. But we don't want anybody else to know, right? Isn't that the pattern? Now, on this handout, we've seen the pattern. See, want, take, hide. How do we deal with sin? There's two things. And you can write down one and two. Number one is don't hide it. Number two, confess it. Don't hide it, confess it. Let me remind you of something, though, about the don't hide it. When we say you sin, don't hide it, that doesn't mean you come to me and say, you said to confess it, so here's what I would like to announce to the Sunday school class what I did yesterday. When I say don't hide it, public sin has public repercussions. Private sins, private repercussions. The people that are involved in the sins are the ones that know and should know. What I'm trying to say is that only when things become public is there need to be any public dealing with it. If it's you and someone else, that's really between you and someone else. So that's why I wanted to put down there, don't hide it, deal with it, confess it. We got two questions we're going to look at as we go through. They're not on this sheet right this second. It says, what is confession and what does God do when we confess? Okay, I've got to review David's sin. We've really done that. He saw Bathsheba. He desired her. He sent and got word about who she is. He found out who she is, but instead of dealing with that, he went ahead and took her, had sexual relations, and he thought he had it done, and he thought he could hide it, and he thought he could hide it by one or two ways, and he couldn't hide it either way. So that takes us to the other page, and that's what happens. Got to chapter 12. Because what happens? Do you realize that probably close to a year went by before David dealt with this? Notice chapter 12, verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, now let me stop for a second. Nathan comes to David. By the way, who is Nathan? He's a prophet. He brings messages from God. So when a prophet comes to talk to you, do you think that's sort of serious? Right? You know, I was watching a show last night, and this person had done something wrong, and they were in the house, and there was a knock on the door, and he opened the door, and it was the police. And as soon as he saw it was the police, you could tell the look on his face, like, oh, I think I'm in trouble. Because see, the police came after the one who did something wrong, and here's Nathan, the prophet from God, coming to David. Has David done wrong? Does David know he's done wrong? Has David dealt with the wrong that he's done? He has not. So watch what happens. He told a story. I love the story. I'm going to do it really fast. He said, David, there were two men in the town. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man had a lot of flocks and herds. The poor man just had one thing. He just had this little lamb, and he nourished it and everything, and it grew up with him. It was like his children. I mean, it was like a pet. In fact, it was a pet lamb. That's what it really was. Now, this traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man was unwilling to take from his own flocks to prepare for this man. So he actually went over to the poor man's place and got his pet lamb and killed it and prepared it for the man. Now, you know that story, right? How does that make you feel about that guy who went and got that guy's pet lamb and killed it? And he's got just hundreds of lambs he could have eaten. Doesn't it make you mad? You go, how can that guy do that? What does David say? David's the king. David's anger burned greatly against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, that man deserves to what? To die. What did Nathan say? Well, he goes on to say he's got to make restitution and everything, because under the law, if you stole somebody's animal, you had to pay back fourfold. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and had no compassion. And then Nathan said to David, David, you are the man. You're in the story, David. You're the rich man who stole somebody else's pet. But when the pet, it says, you have despised the word of the Lord. I've got a question for you. How did David despise the word of the Lord? There are two things. What did he do? Hey, okay, look what it says. Yeah, you're right. Why have you despised the word of the Lord? By doing evil. You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword. David, he actually says, David, you killed Uriah. David could say, I didn't kill Uriah. I wasn't even there. It was a battle going on. It was a battle. We can justify anything, can't we? I wasn't even there. God said, no, you were there. You were the one that killed him. You have struck down Uriah with a sword, and you have taken his wife to be your wife. And you have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. What two things did he do? Took Bathsheba and killed Uriah. Now, I have down for you, and we won't take the time, but David's response in verse 13, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And at that time, if you want to take the time, you can go to Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. Those two psalms are the psalms that David wrote when he confessed his sin. Psalm 32, a psalm of David, and it says, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins are covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute his iniquity. David is writing Psalm 32 by saying how great it is when God forgives. He goes on to say, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away, groaning all day long, night and day. Your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with a fever heat of summer. What does David say? When I didn't deal with my sin, what did God do? He disciplined him. You know, David didn't feel good for a long time. David felt sick for a long time. David hurt for a long time. David's life was miserable for a long time because he didn't deal with his sin. One of the things you're going to have to do, we're going to have to do, is when we sin, what should we do? You cannot hide it, and you must what? Confess it. That's the key. So here's the questions, and I'm going to do it very quickly. What is confession? What is confession? What exactly is confession? It's what? Telling on yourself. The Greek word confession is homo legeo. Two Greek words. Homo means same. Legeo means to say. To confess is to say the same. What it is meaning is saying the same that God would say. What you say is, I lied. I did this. I did this. That's what confession is. Look at 1 John. Just turn there real quickly. I know time is really just about up. I want to finish this today so we can get into the next lesson. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If is a third class if, which means maybe we will and maybe we won't. If you confess your sins, if you what? Tell on yourself. So you got to do it. That's what confession is. Now here's the second part. And that is part two. What does God do? If we confess our sins, he does what? He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. Look at the verse. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Now, I've said this many, 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 many times. But I want to remind you of something. That when you have sin in your life, when you recognize that you've done something wrong, you confess it. You tell on yourself. You say to God, I confess this, Lord. I'm telling on myself. I lied. I did this. He then is faithful and just. He's faithful and righteous to do what? To forgive and to cleanse. To forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I've taught this before. I just want to end with this because I know the bell just rang. But this is something that's important. Most of us know it, but some people may not have ever heard it. As you go through life, we sin a lot and we don't deal with those sins. Sometimes we go through life, we look at something, we think about something, we don't confess that sin. By the time we get to maybe the end of the day, or we get to a time in which we recognize we've sinned and we get ready to confess our sin, how are we going to remember every sin that we've done that day if we haven't confessed them so far? How are you going to remember them? You can't. So what does he tell us? He says, if we confess our sin, the sin that we're what? we know about, the ones we remember, the ones we're saying, I lied. He's faithful and just to forgive and then to do what? To cleanse from all unrighteousness, even the sins we can't remember. The one great thing about God, He's such a God of grace that when you confess your sins that you remember, He not only forgives you, but He cleanses you from every sin. He puts you right back in the fellowship. One of the Psalms says, He knows we're just dust. So, two applications. Expect temptation. I guess that's, yeah, expect temptation. I got three. Yeah, three applications. I don't know why I said two. Expect temptation. I don't know. Yeah, they're up there. Expect temptation. Number two, how we respond will result in either failure or victory. And number three, if we fail, confess. So expect temptation. It's coming every day. It's coming about every hour. It's coming about every minute, isn't it? So expect temptation. And then how you respond to the temptation is going to result in either failure or victory. And then the third thing is, if you were to fail, deal with it. Confess it. Take care of it. Any questions, comments, anything? Because we're going to continue on because we're still in the study. We'll have lesson four next week, which actually begins maybe for a change. We might see somebody who has victory. So far, we hadn't seen anybody have victory, right? Right? Yes. Question? Comment? Well, the people connected with David knew what was happening. The average, the guy, regular out person wouldn't know, but the servant that he sent for sure knew exactly what was going on. Right. But he's the king, see, and nobody else knows, so he thinks he's in good shape. But he's not. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thanks for our class. Thank you for the study. Help us, Lord, to have victory. We know that temptation is coming our way. We know that how we respond to temptation is going to be resulting in victory or failure. We've seen in the lives of some people in the Bible that they saw, they wanted, they went ahead and did it, and then they tried to hide it. Help us, Lord, that if we were to fall, that we don't try to hide it, but we confess it and we deal with it and we go on to maturity and to grow and that we begin to have victory. Help us, Lord, as we see these things. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.